Jonah chapter 2 this morning, Jonah chapter 2. If you have your own Bibles, you may open and read with me. And let's pray before we read the Bible. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with our humble hearts. We come to you because sometimes we don't understand your holy word. We come to you to worship you at the same time. We want to hear from you and to understand your holy word, to apply all the teachings into our lives. As we read your holy word, as we dig into all the treasures that you stored in your word, would you please help us? Would you please bless us and guide us so that we open our hearts and willingly listen to your word and understand your great plans for our lives and for your kingdom. And Heavenly Father, we also pray for all the people here sitting as I'm going to preach, and help me, and as they're listening to your word, and help them too. We are here not just talking about something, but we are here to talk about you. So please bless me and bless all the congregation so that we remain and we stay in your grace all the way through to the end of our worship this morning. We pray your Son in Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of God in Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and a flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. The weeds were wrapped around about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land. Those bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon a dry land. Amen. This is the word of God. So many papers I brought today, and I'm looking for my sermon note. I have a prayer and worship order. Suppose, let's guess, think about today. Suppose that you are a CEO, which means a chief executive officer of a big company, not somewhere, but here in Spokane. Maybe you can think about it, Providence Hospital or Deaconess, the big hospitals. And now, recently, your company started a new business in Barrow, which is in Alaska. Now, which is the northernmost city in the United States. That means so cold. And sometimes you can see polar bears and following you. And then your company already spent a couple of million dollars for the new business there. But however, unfortunately, you and your company continually hear that the business in the Barrow is not doing well, losing all the money, and many complaints from all the employees. They don't want to be there. So as a CEO of the company, you have to decide, you have to send someone from your company who knows Alaska better. Guess. Now you are sitting in your office with your executive team members and to discuss about the situation in Barrow in Alaska. Then you look at one person, one of executive members, and say, "Hey, James, I think you need to go to Barrow because you came from Alaska. You are the best candidate." But, however, James does not respond. So you, again, you call his name and say, "Hey, Mr. Kim, did you hear me? I want you to go to Barrow to help them out." Okay? Now this time you raise the pitch of your voice a little bit more, but unfortunately, a stubborn Mr. Kim did not respond to your call at all. Now you are a little bit upset with Mr. Kim. And boldly say to him again, "Hey, James, this is my final notice, my final request. I want you to go to Barrow by tonight." The Mr. Kim does not answer, but just looking at the window as if he might want to jump out of it. If you are the CEO of that company, what would you say to Mr. Kim, James Kim? That's not me. There are lots of James Kim in the world. If I were the CEO, now say, "James, you're fired." I mean, wouldn't it be easier for you or the CEO to lay him off and find another faithful employee? Now, what about Jonah? Let's think about Jonah. Wouldn't it be easier for God to lay off the prophet, the stubborn prophet Jonah, and find another faithful prophet? At the time, many prophets are available, like Amos and Hosea. I mean, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He completely ignored God so many times already. That is found in chapter 1. Even worse, Jonah was sleeping in the middle of the thunderstorm. Now imagine that if God speaks to you this morning with a thunderstorm, how could you sleep? Do you think you can go to sleep? I don't think I could, but Jonah did. Yes, surely he was the stubborn prophet. If I were the CEO, I would fire him. But God did not give him up. That is the problem that we will see. While Jonah was sleeping inside, God sent the sailors to wake him up. Second choice, second time. Finally, in the middle of the great storm, Jonah figured out what he had done to God. He had sinned against God. For him, there was no more choice but to be punished by God. No more running away from God. No more ignoring God. No more sleeping in the middle of God's word. But only God's judgments inform him for his unfaithfulness. Surely, he deserved God's punishment, that we know it. Then let's hear what Jonah said to the sailors in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 12. He said, hey, Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. This is my fault. I know it. So throw me into the sea. That will be fine." One thing that we know is Jonah knew why the storm came upon them, all the people. He had committed a great sin against God. He knew that he deserved God's punishment, not other people. That's why he asked the sailors to throw him to the sea. But unfortunately, the sailors, in chapter 2, the sailors did not believe it first. However, as they tried to save themselves, their lives, and everybody in the boat, in the ship, there was nothing they could do. So eventually, they threw Jonah into the sea. Finally, Jonah was sinking into a deep, dark, and cold sea. Now, if you are a good swimmer, you may think that you can survive when you are thrown into the sea, right? Maybe. Maybe Pastor Perry. But in this case, it's different. You may not be able to save. You may not be able to swim. Because the Bible says, Jonah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, God sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. And in verse 5, it says, even all those sailors, the professionals, even all those sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. Now, it's very interesting to read that even all the sailors were frightened by the storm. And we can imagine how Jonah must have felt when he was thrown into the deep, dark sea. He must have felt fear, maybe regret. Oh no, what did I do? Or guilt and hopelessness. Oh, I'm dying. There is no hope. Despair and death. Then here comes a very interesting question for all of us. Did God really abandon the stubborn prophet Jonah? I mean, Jonah was a headache. He was a completely unfaithful to God. He ignored God so many times. Yes, he deserved God's punishment. He has to die. Now, did God finally say, hey, Jonah, you're fired, you're gone. I don't need you anymore. No. As we already know, our gracious God did not give up on Jonah. Shortly after Jonah was thrown into the sea, God sent a special lifeguard to save Jonah. And chapter 1 of verse 17 says, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside a fish for 3 days, 3 nights. Long days and long nights. After reading Jonah chapter 1, we will think that, oh, what an odd story is this. I mean, why did God spare Jonah's life? Maybe we think that this is not a good case. To be honest with you, I was struggling with the same question. Why did God spare Jonah's life? He has many good prophets out there. Why? Why did God spare Jonah's life? Why didn't God give up on Jonah and to find another faithful prophet? Now, as I read the book of Jonah again and again to find the answer, I began to realize something. The book of Jonah is not only about a running away prophet, but it is all about God. And actually, there was a big moment for me, the change, because I was finally able to see the book of Jonah from a different angle. And, I mean, we always read the book of Jonah as a story, a big fish, and prophet Jonah, and the big fish ate him, and spit him out, yay. Yeah, it's a story. But it's not only a story about Jonah, or a storybook about all the people in the world, but it is a story about God. God wanted to reveal himself through the life of Jonah. God wanted to show his salvation, his love and grace through the life of Jonah. God saved Jonah's life. He did not give up on him because God wanted to give him, which means Jonah, a very special lesson about God's saving grace, about God himself. God wanted to teach Jonah that God is the one who listens to Jonah's prayer. Actually, that is my first point. God wanted to teach him that God is the one who listens to Jonah's prayer. That's in chapter 2 and verse 1 that we read this morning. It says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. And he kept saying, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. This is a very interesting verse. We know that there was no positive communication between God and Jonah. God was the one who speaks to one all the time, speaks to Jonah. And Jonah is the one who continually disregarded or ignored God's voice. Then all of a sudden in chapter 2, Jonah began praising God. We wonder what happened to Jonah. The answer is found in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 7. And Jonah said, "When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple." Yeah, Jonah is changing. Jonah was thrown mercilessly into the raging sea, and he must have thought, "Oh no, I am going to die. What have I done?" In the middle of his distress and or misery, you know, Jonah began to realize that there was no hope at all. But God was his only hope. So he began praying. Not only praying, based on his confession in chapter 2, he desperately cried out to God. That means here, called. Did God answer his prayer? Yes. Listen to what Jonah said. "He answered me." You, which means God, listened to my cry. Who answered? God answered Jonah's prayer. Then God sent him a big fish to swallow Jonah and save him from the deadly sea. We know that God heard Jonah's prayer. And we have to think about this question then. How about the following question? Does God listen to our prayers? What is your answer? The answer should be yes. Now, it is better for us to read what Jesus says about a prayer this time. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 10, he said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened." In verse 9, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he has a fish, will give him a snake?" Verse 11, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give food gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" It happened to Jonah. Maybe today we feel a little bit awkward. Maybe you feel you have been thrown into the dark and cold sea like Jonah. Maybe you feel fear and horror or regret and guilt and hopelessness or despair and even death this morning. Maybe you feel that there is no hope. There's nothing you can do. Maybe you feel this morning there is no one who cares for you. Then listen to what Jonah said. Listen to Jonah's confession. "In my distress, I called to the Lord. You listened to my prayer." It's interesting to look at the meaning of a call here. That means cry aloud. It's cry aloud. As God heard Jonah's prayer, it is sure that God will hear our prayers too. Unfortunately, Jonah ignored God's voice many times. However, God did not ignore Jonah's prayer. But he heard his cry. I believe that the same thing is true for us. God will hear us and our cries. And he will hear our prayers. Don't get me wrong. He will not give us what we want. But he will grant us what we need in his time. Therefore, as Jesus taught us this morning, we must ask, seek, and knock the door, and God will answer our prayers. That is something that God wanted to teach Jonah when he was in distress. My second point is, God wanted to teach Jonah that God was the one who is controlling everything, which means the sovereignty of God. In verse 3, let's look at the verse 3. Jonah said in verse 3, a couple of times mentioned, "You hurled me into the deep." I'm reading the NIV version, but Jonah said, "You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me, and all your waves and breakers swept over me." One more verse in 6. "To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God." And we see that Jonah is reviewing his life. So looking back his life before God in his prayer. And then God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh. But Jonah could not carry out God's command. Why? But simple answer is like, because Jonah did not want to. That is his simple answer. He did not want to Assyrians in Nineveh to experience God's mercy and grace. That's why he ran away from God. Because he did not want to share the good news. When God spoke to Jonah through a thunderstorm, he closed his eyes and plugged his ears because he did not want to hear God's voice. What did you see in his life? Jonah was a very selfish and self-centered person. We can say a self-centered prophet. He was in charge of his own life. He was the master of his own life. Basically, he was trying to say to God, "Hey, I don't know. I don't want to do that. Don't bother me. This is my life." Sounds familiar, right? My life, and my life. Jonah did not see the big picture of God's salvation plan that God wanted to teach him because of his self-centered attitude. Now, I believe that the same is true for us. We will not understand the big picture of God's salvation plan if we are self-centered Christians. If we say, "Everything's about me." I'd like to change everything because I want to do it. I was thinking about worship style because I was reading about worship, the book Worship. The title is Worship. Nowadays, people are looking for worship, what they like to do. Let's think about this question. Who is in charge of our life? God or myself? I'm sure that Jonah thought he was in charge of his own life. That's his life. That's why he was able to ignore God's voice. If he felt that God was in control of everything, he couldn't resist God's voice. When we think that we are in charge of our own life, we do the same thing. We turn a deaf ear to God's voice. Sometimes God speaks to you and me through the thunder or lightning outside, but we don't hear anything. We fall into a deep sleep like Jonah. Let's listen to what Jonah said in chapter 2, three times. In verses 3 and 6, three times he said, "God, God, you hurled me into the deep. And all your waves and your breakers swept over me. And you brought my life up from the pit."
We know that Jonah tried everything to declare that this is my life. Don't touch me. I would do what I like to do. None of your business. But from his disobedience to God, from his experience, he learned something. He learned the truth. It is not about himself. It is not about his life. But it's all about God. That's about Jonah. God is the owner of Jonah's life. God is the owner of all the people. He is the one who created all the people in the world. He is the one who controls and sustains the world. He is our God, the sovereign God. That's why Jonah said three times and confessed in his prayer, "You hurled me. Your waves, your breakers, and you brought my life." Finally, we see that Jonah surrendered his life to God, where he realized that God is in control. Then how about you and me this morning? We should ask this question again. And who is in charge of my life? How about this question? Do we really surrender ourselves to God? Or are we still claiming that, hey, this is my life. This is my boundary. Don't pass over. Don't bother me. Period. Did you notice that the book of Jonah is not about Jonah? This is all about God, his salvation plan. The same thing is true. The same is true that the Bible is not about stories or after stories, but it is all about Jesus Christ and his salvation, who died on the cross and resurrected from the death to save you and me from our sins. God redeemed you and me through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus has purchased us with his precious blood. Now, therefore, one conclusion, we are not ours. My body and everything is not mine, but belong in body and soul, both in life and death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That is something that we have to remember. God is in charge of everything, not me, not my life. Remember what Jonah said. You brought my life from the pit. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 6. We are his people. We belong to him. God is in complete control. That God taught Jonah about that. Hey Jonah, this is not about you. This is about not your preference. This is not about what you like. But this is all about my salvation plan. This is all about me. And God tried to teach Jonah. And we know that Jonah learned from his prayer. Think about it. Jonah was sitting inside of a big fish. Now think about it. Smelly and stinky and nasty. I don't want to be there. But I believe that it was the best place for him to learn about God. As he confessed, in his suffering or misery, and we can say distress, Jonah prayed. He prayed. And God heard his prayer. I believe that we have many reasons not to pray. We're so busy not to pray. And then listen to what Martin Luther said. I have so much to do that I shall have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. I don't think that we can pray for 3 hours every day. Maybe you could. But one thing that we have to remember, we should not forget, is when we pray, God always hears our prayers. Therefore, I believe that we have to spend more time to pray next year, 2014. I don't know how much time you spend to pray 2013. This is the last Sunday of 2013. When you look back, 2013, did you pray? I know you prayed how long.
we must pray hard in 2014. Pray for new building project. It's not our business. I believe it's God's business. God is pushing and telling us we need it. We have so many thoughts. Yes, blah, blah, blah. But let's forget about that. Just pray for God's guidance, where God is leading us. Maybe we don't have money, but God has money. Let's pray hard in 2014. Let's see that how God is working, how God is answering our prayers. Maybe small group leaders, pray for your small group people. Maybe we can pray for church growth. Maybe I can tell my Korean brothers and sisters, we can pray for our Korean brothers and sisters to grow in number. We can pray for all the ministries, gems and cadets and Bible club and coffee break, that we're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember what Jonah said 3 times. It's not me, but you, God, in his confession. Nothing else. 2014 should be only Jesus Christ. Christ alone. We have to realize that myself and yourself should be disappeared in front of Jesus Christ. And only Jesus Christ stands. Living for Christ should be our goal for 2014. And this is what Paul says in Romans 14 and verse 7 and 8. He says, "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." Romans 14, 7 and 8. If we believe that we are not ours, if we know that God is the owner of our life, if we believe that Jesus Christ is our master, there is one thing that we can do. We must surrender ourselves to our Lord Jesus Christ and declare that you are my Lord. That should be our goal for 2014. I thought about how I can conclude my sermon. Then I want to invite you to open the gray hymnals and the Heidelberg Catechism number 1, and question and answer number 1. Page number is 861. I'm going to read a question. Would you please read the answer? What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life. Makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live. Jonah deserved God's punishment. And we deserve God's punishment. But God did not punish Jonah, but he saved Jonah's life. And he taught about God himself. Because of God's teaching, Jonah was able to pray again. And God heard Jonah's prayer and answered his prayer. Now we have a few more days this year, 2013. Please remember that Jesus Christ died for you and our sin, for our sins. God did not punish us, but God saved us. Now this is a time for us to pray like Jonah did. And this is time for us to confess that we are not ours. But I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life, in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. What is the most important thing for you? It should be Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jonah's struggling. We see that we are contemporary Jonahs because we're very self-centered people. We like to hear what we like to hear, but we don't care about what you say sometimes through the word. We ignore, we just disregard your word and try to run away from you. Thank you for your special lesson for Jonah. And we really wanted to accept that teaching that we are not ours, but purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are yours. So Lord, we humbly come to you. We want to pray for everything. As Jonah prayed in his distress, his misery, we want to pray when we are struggling. We want to pray for our church. We want to pray for our brothers and sisters. We want to spend more time to pray with our brothers and sisters and help us to end our year 2013 to glorify you, to know that you are the one who saved us. You are the one who listens to our prayer. We pray your Son in Jesus Christ. Amen.